Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Programming note, we must begin with a programming note. This is Wretched Radio. Please note that the first segment of Wretched Radio is going to be exactly the same as the second segment and exactly the same as the third segment. Same content, just delivered in a different style. You see, the first segment, that one always comes first, it's going to be the traditional segment. We're going to do it for you old folks. So, I won't talk as loudly, and I'll talk a little slower, and I'll be soothing. And I'll hushy, because you can't take much more than this. Then, yo, the second segment, same content, it'll just be contemporary in presentation. Same content, just hey, sick. And then the third segment, exactly the same content, but ha, modern. That means I'll just use shorter sentences. I'll maybe put some super groovy, cool, hip contemporary music underneath it. And then we'll attract a wider audience. Thought you should know that programming note here on Wretched Radio. And you're going, wait a second, what's the point of all of that? To that I answer, I have no idea. You see, I was visiting a church website that you sent into idea@wretchedradio.com, and I noticed that the church doesn't have two different types of services. We've moved from contemporary and traditional, because contemporary is no longer contemporary. See what happens with fads there? So now it's modern. So the traditional, old folks, they go first at like 8 in the morning because, you know, they're up with the birds, they chirp, you wake up, you go to church. The contemporary, these are people who probably, they listen to, what type of, Joey, what would be the contemporary music that this demographic would listen to? This would be you, Joey. This would be you.
Me?
Yeah, your contemporary worship. But you're getting to be an old fuddy-duddy, too,
yeah,
so now
the stuff I grew up on is now on the classic rock stations.
That's, I'm talking about worship here. Or maybe that's on classic rock, too.
You, too?
So now, the whippersnappers coming up behind you. They're modern. And isn't that just rich? This tells me several things, actually. Fads, bads. Okay, that was the only way I could see to make. Fad, bad. Number two, how many more of these different types of segregated services are we going to need in, say, 10 years? So it'll be traditional. Wait a second. Maybe all the traditional folks will be dead. So then it'll just be contemporary, modern, and
ironic.
Retro. No, not
retro. Ironic hymns with the ironic organ.
It'll have to be even more current, contemporary, and modern than contemporary and modern. So whatever word that is, that'll be the news service. And then when that gets a little bit stodgy for the kids, then they'll move up to a slightly later or earlier time period. And on it goes. So basically, if I'm doing my math right, by the end of the 21st century, churches are going to need to have church about 16 hours a day, every hour, while the sun is up, with a slightly different format. Which means that the church service is going to have to be about 45 minutes long, which means it's going to be very close to being Lutheran. The point is, at some time, we're going to have to say, wait a second, can we agree on a body or a way to go about the business of presenting our worship to God? That grievance aside, regarding this whole let's keep updating so that we can be current, so that people are happy with the type of music. We shouldn't be happy. It has nothing to do with our happiness when it comes to worship. The question is God pleased with our worship? The other issue with this is the segregation that is involved. So now you've got not just two groups of people who just, they're like Barry Manilow and his manager. Two ships that just pass in the night. They don't see each other. They don't worship together. Now we got three ships. That means this could be like that harbor in Tokyo. Was that actually in a harbor where that fishing boat or that big barge hit an American warship? Maybe it wasn't in a harbor. In fact, church isn't even going to be that connected. Nobody's ever going to see each other. That's not healthy. That's not good. Kids, you need the old folks. Old folks, you need the kids. We need each other. That's what makes church, church. I think this whole idea of splitting us up not only is not good, eventually, it's not going to be very practical. Thank you. Thank you very much for sending that email to idea@wretchedradio.com.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Thank you. Oops, there it is. Thank you for sending stuff to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. You send it. The chances are pretty good we'll use it. I'm not kidding. In fact, here, do you see this right here? You can hear it, can't you?
Is that your latest manuscript?
No, I wish it were. I've got a manuscript that's due. I'm almost finished with. I'm not sure what we're going to call it. Okay, you tell me what we should call it. This is going to be the gospel booklet that we want to start passing out on college campuses along with the DVD. And that way, you can just walk up to a kid and say, do you want to watch something or read something? And inside of the booklet, by the way, we'll have the, if I went to the modern service at church, I'd know what this is called. It's that black squiggly thing that the kids can just scan with their phone and it just takes you somewhere.
Q code.
What is it called?
Q code.
Huh. I'll be.
Or QR, I believe. One of the two.
QR code?
Yeah, it could be both.
Can you use codes that begin with the letter Q? I don't want to be doing any sort of sexual appropriation in any way, shape, or form. So they watch that if they want. So you give them the book that it's got the QR code on it. They do their, I don't want to get all technological on you. They do the bloop thing, and then it goes, and then they can watch The Biggest Question also. I'm writing it. Here's the title that I'm working on. I spent a lot of time on this one. Why? No, that's it. That's the title. Why? Question mark. Because the premise of it is to answer why the world runs the way the world does. And so that really is the second working title that I've got. Why the world is the way that it is. It seems a little verbose and wordy and too long and too many words involved. So I'm not exactly sure what to call it, but it's to answer all of the questions that we should be pondering. Reflecting last night, Robbie Rage, the wrestler, you know, the guy who used to be a really mean, awful, terrible, just snarly professional wrestler. Now, pussycat, just an absolute pussycat, which is unfortunate because now I'm allergic to him. He was over for dinner last night. We almost did something that bordered on impromptu. Do you remember those days when somebody would just show up? That means we only planned it like 2 days in advance. So we're getting there with people just dropping by. So it was almost like an impromptu meal. And we were chatting about the world and the way that the world thinks and the way that the world, well, really doesn't think. And we were talking about how removed the world is from reality. And we spent some time chatting about something that we've chatted about here on Wretched Radio and the disconnect that culture has with just the way things are. The whole gender thing. A man thinks he's a female hippopotamus. We've now got three genders on the license in Oregon. It is this simple. Once you have denied what is most obvious, the most obvious thing in the world is God's existence. There's nothing more obvious than that. Once you deny that, well, then you deny gender. You deny morality. You deny anything. God's existence is more obvious than gravity. If and I approached you and said, I don't believe in gravity, you would drop something from your hand, let it hit the floor, and you'd go, there. That's everything you need to know about the existence of gravity. It's undeniable. The existence of God is more undeniable than gravity. An entire universe points to the truth that God exists. And so I wrote this little booklet trying to show people why this universe works the way that it does. And the answer to the why question is because God made it. And it operates the way that he has designed it to operate based on his character and his nature. So, do I call it why? Or why is the world is to be as the way that it is be? Or something like that. Your emails next on Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us. Glad you would spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. We're going to do a little math. I know I don't like it any better than you, but let's give it a shot anyway, shall we? What Time is Purple? Remember our evangelistic booklet? We're going to try and give away 1 million copies. Well, the last I checked, you had given away over 400,000 copies. So my private school math skills say we're 40% of the way there. Good on ya. They are a great little giveaway for, say, an atheist or agnostic in your life who's kind of been taken by evolutionary theory. Or maybe that college student who's heading off to school for the first time. Or generally, any old person who doubts the Bible. What Time is Purple? The copies are free. All you have to do is pay for the shipping and give them away. Wretched.org/purple has all the details. By the way, if you're a ministry and you'd like to give away a whole bunch of them, email al@wretched.org, okay? Wretched.org/purple. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church.
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, Wretched.org/Bible.
Wretched is going to prison. Well, Wretched Resources are going to prison, and we need your help. Our gospel booklet resources, Don't Stub Your Toe, What Time is Purple, and Rotten Fish, are going to be given away for free to prison ministries to distribute to inmates. That's where you come in. We can't do this without our gospel partners. See, the more you give, the more we are able to give away. Without your generous support, we wouldn't be able to give away these resources for free to prison ministries. So if you're interested in supporting Wretched, please visit wretched.org/donate and become a gospel partner today. Wretched.org/donate. Now, if you're a prison ministry interested in distributing Wretched resources to inmates, please contact jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N, jen@wretched.org. Let's get the gospel into prison. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate.
Know your church fathers.
Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the Church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like I was saying, you send a lot of stuff to idea@wretchedradio.com, and I'm very grateful that you do. This is Wretched Radio. Whatever sermon, a good one, a stinker, an idea, a link to an article, you send it, I read it, and most likely we use it on the program. So thank you very much for doing that. It actually also helps us a great deal when you hear something that you sent to idea@wretchedradio.com on the air. It's because it came from you. So thank you. Thank you very much. Let's get to our emails if Joey doesn't interrupt again here on Wretched Radio. Joey, which book title do you like, by the way? Why or Why the World Is the Way That It Is?
I think I like the second better, but I think it could be pithier. Tightened up a little bit. Yeah.
Or even shorter. Alrighty.
Why the World Is As It Is.
Why the World Is As It Is. That's 7 versus Why the World Is the Way It Is versus 8.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep sharpening the axe.
And as is only 2 letters.
All right. We got rid of 2 letters. It's a start.
No. We got, let's see, the way.
You know,
we got rid of four letters and a space.
Look at this done.
One bite at a time.
Mm-hmm. No, why would you want to eat an elephant? That's ridiculous.
I will eat just about anything that any animal you put in front of me.
As long as you put it on one of those green egg cookers. Oh, eating is good on the green egg cooker. They're expensive, those things. We don't have one. Actually, what I've got is a grill. How often does this happen? You see, because of the fall, everything goes kafritz and it breaks down. The grill that I have, I've 15 years now. Boom! Started up first try. Love it. And now, after 15 years, the flavor is just starting to get good, which means it'll probably break down soon. Here we go. This from Jason. What is a theology around non-abortive birth control? Before we go any further in this specific question, because he asks about the issue of a vasectomy, I think in order to answer that question, the first question needs to be answered before the second question. Contrary to everything Bill Clinton said, what is your attitude about procreation? If you believe that the command for Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply, A, was for all time, and 2, that you should have as many kids as you possibly can, then you would probably have some sort of a problem with birth control. If, however, you believe that the command was for human beings, some of whom get married, some of whom don't. See, this is why I don't believe the command was for all time, or for all people, rather. We human beings, as a rule, should be having children. That is the principle that we see in Scripture, that we make babies. However, God gives a gift of singleness. Those people, they cannot be obedient then to that command if that command is for all time and all people. So I believe generally we should be having children, but God allows us, based on circumstances, based on the ability to provide, to determine how often we choose to get pregnant. Now, and just in case anybody heard, whoa, that's why a lot of people abort their children. I didn't say that. If you don't think that you can afford children and you get pregnant, you're going to have a child, and you're just going to have to figure out some way to keep everybody alive. I'm not suggesting for a second that abortion is an option. We don't promote abortion here. In fact, we promote life here at Wretched Radio. And you could actually promote life, too, by supporting preborn.org. Paying for an ultrasound every month or 2 or 3 or 5, they're $28. Mom sees it and she realizes that's a baby. 80% of the time, she keeps the child. Preborn.org. If you can support it, you'll surely You'll be saving lives. It's as simple as that. Mom hears the gospel and souls get saved to boot. So I am not suggesting that you can abort the child because of your supposed inability to provide for the child. You have the child because we believe in life. But I do believe that Christians can determine, husband and wife, together receiving wise biblical counsel from elders if necessary, how many kids they're going to have. Furthermore, for the person, and by the way, I don't think you're a heretic, and I hope you won't think I'm a heretic either, even though you might be getting annoyed at me right now. If you are going to be an individual who believes that we're supposed to have as many kids as possible, okay, let's just say, the odds increase of risk to the mother's life with age. And let's just say a woman could get pregnant at 50. Is that wise? You should keep having babies as soon as you get married until you can no longer have babies? That just doesn't even seem right to me. Nevertheless, I think in order to answer the question about vasectomy, you need to answer the question about life. So I've already clearly tipped my hand. This doesn't mean that we should part company from one another. If you disagree, I think that it is okay for a husband and wife to use a non-abortifacient to not get pregnant. If it has any sort of abortive element to it, then of course we don't use that. We're all adults. You can figure out what that means, but we don't use birth control that has an abortifacient in it. And you then can decide that. Now, what about, though, the rather permanent, it's not fully permanent, but the reversal is quite extraordinary, the issue of vasectomy. What do we do with that? Let's remember, the norm is to have kids. Now, what about specifically this almost permanent, non-reversible procedure? I think it's an option for Christians, but it's a big decision. I think, especially if you're younger, your circumstances can change. Let's say you got four kids right now, and you're thinking, yikes, we can hardly keep this going. That's true. Right now, you are maybe struggling. Maybe it's a financial, maybe it's just time, maybe it's just energy, but that might change, might it not? And you might regret that. So be very, very slow and consider other means than something as permanent as a vasectomy. Now, if there are dangers to your wife, if your wife gets pregnant again and she's going to die. Now, I don't know if that's even a possibility, but if that's the scenario, then it might be a wise decision for you. But just be very cautious and very slow because circumstances can change. idea@wretchedradio.com. Don't be mad at me if you disagree with me on the birth control. Just idea@wretchedradio.com. Katie Nelson. You're very funny, Katie from Canada. Now I need to do penance, she writes. I dropped into a Starbucks for a caramel frappuccino. I enjoyed it immensely. So then I came home, started listening to a wretched podcast, and you tell me that because I've partaken in feasting at Starbucks, that I must eat a Chick-fil-A or Zaxby's to balance things out. That is exactly correct. That is what evangelical penance is all about, because you see, the Starbucks, at least when this took place, if you bought a certain drink, they gave some money to Lady Gaga's efforts to have everybody born that way. Sorry about that, Katie. Thankfully, apparently that's done. Now they just give the money to Lady Gaga in private, so it's okay. She writes, Todd, do you realize there are none of those in Canada? There are no Chick-fil-A's or Zaxby's in Canada? Wow. Oh, Canada. We need everybody in the States, Britain, Australia, we need to be praying for Canada. They need a Chick-fil-A or a Zaxby's real bad. So aside from Chick-fil-A in Ottawa, which is about 5 to 6 hours plane ride away from here from where I now live, please help. What is a Canadian to do? Well, I think that if you're genuinely saved, Katie, you're going to just have to fly down south someplace and visit us down here in the land of Dixie and get yourself to a Zaxby's or a Chick-fil-A. Because after all, what does it profit a woman if she gains a caramel frappuccino and loses? Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Miles asking a question. Miles. This should motivate us all to pray for our pastors. They get hit with this stuff. Here's the question. Hi, Gaviltafish Larry. What if a spouse gets a sex change? Now that's not crazy these days. That happens. What if a spouse gets a sex change? They don't change their, you know what I mean. Or simply chooses to live as the opposite sex that they actually are. They want to be called a new name and, in a sense, views who they are as non-existent or dead. But they don't want to leave their Christian spouse. Should this Christian spouse leave them? If they've disregarded their old name and identity, is the Christian spouse bound to them any longer? I think, no, it's the same person and the sickness and health business. But if they have no desire to be intimately involved with that changed person, which would likely be an issue, what should they do? Have you been praying for your pastor? We'll give it a go next on Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 312 AD. Emperor Constantine is converted after seeing a vision of the cross. He becomes a defender and advocate of the oppressed Christians. After his death, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, which endured in some form for another 1,500 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Science deniers, this is Wretched Radio. Those who believe a fella can become a fellowette and vice versa are simply science deniers. That's right, we are called science deniers. When we don't believe in evolution or global warming, they are science deniers when they think that gender is fluid and we can determine what sex we actually are. They're science deniers. If we would draw blood from Bruce Jenner, pretty certain I can guess what his chromosomes are going to be. If you put a dress on, castrate your body, that does not change the science. What it means is that person needs help, not affirmation, not giving them these blockers, these puberty blockers that are being given to kids, little children, on steroids or hormones to get them to at least change some of the way that they present themselves, but it doesn't change their DNA. So the next time somebody says that, hey, transgenderism is real, you can just simply call them a science denier. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. If you would be so kind like Miles did with a bit of a conundrum, a dilemma, let's just say a Christian man, we'll just use this as the scenario. A Christian man is married to a woman. She decides she wants to be a fella. What's that guy to do? I mean, the actual guy. What is he to do? She's no longer the same. New name, new identity. Is that grounds for divorce? And I think the answer to that is no. The Bible makes it clear that there are indeed some circumstances where you can no longer be married. The first way that you can no longer be married is if your spouse dies. You're no longer in that covenant. Therefore, you're not married anymore. Your spouse needs to be alive. However, there are also some biblical reasons why a person can get divorced. I believe ongoing infidelity. I don't believe abuse is grounds for divorce. I believe that it is grounds for getting that person, probably the woman, out of there for her safety until it is deemed safe for her to return. But I don't think it's biblical grounds for divorce. We just simply have to go with what the Bible teaches. There is another reason, and that would be vamoosing. This isn't a Canadian thing. I'm not talking about elk. I'm talking about when somebody just leaves, they abandon ship and they don't come back. The Bible gives us permission for that spouse to end the marriage because they've died, if you will. I don't think that's the case with the individual who thinks that they're changing their gender. They're still alive. They're still present. And they maybe have lipstick or cologne on, whatever thing it is that they're doing. But that doesn't change who they are. All it does is change the way they're presenting themselves. You wouldn't divorce somebody because one day they wear khaki pants and the next day they wear blue jeans. There are no biblical grounds for that. So I don't believe, Miles, that this person would have liberty to divorce that person. As difficult as it would be, furthermore, the whole intimacy issue, that's just not grounds for divorce, biblically. Difficult? Yes. Disappointing? Yes. Frustrating? Certainly. But nevertheless, it's not grounds for divorce. You can disagree if you'd like to. Send an email to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. If I could simply add this, for that person that might be dealing with this, you've got yourself a ministry. This is clear. You didn't marry the wrong person. Nobody does anything wrong. I mean, you can do something sinful, but everybody does what God ordains. Everybody does what God ordains. Now, he doesn't cause them to do sinful things. He permits them to do that, but it's still ordained by God, even though he does not get credit for evil. He only gets credit for the good. We get the credit for the evil part. God gets all the good. We're responsible for the bad. So you married the right person. Now you got a ministry. So get on it and be encouraged. You've got a chance to grow like many Christians will never have the chance. idea@wretchedradio.com. Oh, this is, as long as we're on the subject. Gabby writes, my sister recently found out the school for the kids that they're going to going to start teaching the kids about LGBTQ, etc. lifestyles and the acceptance of these lifestyles. These kids, if I'm not mistaken, are in kindergarten. That's right. Now our kids are getting indoctrinated in kindergarten about sexual issues. I just think it's getting increasingly difficult for Christian parents to deal with the issue of education. I think education is going to be a big challenge in a lot of ways for Christians, starting with this issue. I mean, historically, we've had to deal with evolution in the public schools. Yes, there's been sex ed introduced. Yep, the self-esteem promotion. Now they're teaching mindfulness and yoga. Now they're getting indoctrinated into LGBTQ. Now, I grant you, different schools might have different attitudes depending on what zip code you happen to be in. Nevertheless, we're getting bombarded by this. I think it's going to get more complicated because a lot of Christian parents, they say, well, then I'm going to send my kids to a Christian school. Get ready. Christian schools, they are facing tough times, I'm telling you, because if the LGBTQ movement has their way, the funding will be cut to those schools. It doesn't mean they can't exist. It just means they're going to be under a lot of pressure if they want kids who go to their school to be able to receive, for instance, a Pell Grant, any sort of government money. Whether it goes directly to the school or to the child who then gives it to the school, we're looking at tough times ahead. I think even homeschooling, if this keeps going the way that it's going, is looking at very difficult times where this community who wants to, they think that there's a there, and there's no there. They think that if we just get everybody to praise us, not simply accept us, but to applaud us, then I won't feel so rotten when I wake up every morning. There's no there for them. So they're just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. What are you to do? I think we've got to be really careful not to make a law where there is no law. I just don't think that we can say it's a sin for a Christian parent to send their child to a government school. Having said that, Mom and Dad, you got to take a closer, harder look at this, I think, than ever before. The world system, it is in full bloom. Postmodernism, there's another challenge in the government schools. The indoctrination that happens with this Marxist system known as postmodernism,
I just think that we need to take a look at it. And I think that the church needs to take a look at, if we're going to be really mindful of what's coming down the pike here, the churches take a look at, okay, we've got these families in our church. They can't afford to pull their kid out of government school. What are we going to do to gather around them and help them? That's the church being the church. So all that to say, Gabby, I feel your pain. I can tell you what we as a family did. I'm not sure that I'm willing to say this is what you must do. We homeschooled for three reasons. Number one, the cost, private schools. Woo, are they expensive in the South? Number two, this very issue. So we just couldn't do it. We couldn't send our little kids off to the government school for indoctrination. And reason number three, it allows us to be smug because homeschoolers are better than everybody else. Be the third reason. Idea at wretched.org. This is a tricky one too from Gil. Do phobias fall under the umbrella of sinful anxiety? That's an interesting question, isn't it? For instance, what do you do about things like a fear of heights, germs, spiders? Okay, you shouldn't have a fear of heights. You shouldn't have a fear of spiders. But it is perfectly biblical to have a fear of germs. How do I make that conclusion and distinction? It is very, very simple. I don't have a fear of spiders or heights. Germs, I do. Therefore, it's okay if you have that fear because it's me. Okay, that's probably not the best way to go about making decision. He says as he squirts some Germix on his hands because I forgot to do that a quarter of an hour ago. Because I don't know if I told you this, I've got OCD so bad, it's actually CDO for me. Hello! It's a word. It's an alphabet. Obsessive compulsive disorder joke. What do we do with those things? Now, inside of this question, Gil writes this. I have a massive phobia of 1-4s. I have no idea why he's got a fear of the Roman numeral 1 and the Roman numeral 4. I'm sorry, that's IVs, because I had a seizure and developed problems
that
with tetany.
That would be a 4, not a 1-4. That would be a 1-5 or a 4.
Or it would be a, you're right, it would be a 1-5. It was just a joke anyway, literalist.
Well, then get it right.
Following my first IV due to an adverse reaction to the medication, now I'm being recommended for iron infusions, but I'm getting a pill instead because the thought of anything intravenous gives me overwhelming anxiety from this first event. What would you say about Gil and his phobia, or maybe you and your phobias? Next on Wretched Radio. If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts in it. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts here. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joshua tells of the conquest and division of the Promised Land. There are two consistent themes in Joshua: God's faithfulness and his aversion to unfaithfulness. When you wonder how committed God is to his people or doubt the seriousness of idolatry, let Joshua remind you that your God is a jealous God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, what would you say? This is Wretched Radio, reading some emails sent in from you to idea@wretched.org. Muy grateful for that. And as long as I'm being grateful, very grateful to you for supporting Tomorrow Clubs. Tremendous ministry. Hundreds of kids' clubs done with the local churches in Ukraine and Moldova and Romania, the poor parts of Eastern Europe. These clubs are rocking, and they could open more and more and more, where kids hear the gospel and local churches are getting revitalized. 30 little disciples for $30 a month. Hundreds of wretched people already do. So thank you. If you'd like to consider it, visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, and you'll see what's going on there. Amazing ministry. So we received this little phobia question from Gil. Can a Christian ever have a phobia? Let's break it down, James Brown. Number one, fear is natural. Let's not just say, fear means you're not trusting God. No, that doesn't necessarily. It can, but it doesn't have to. I mean, this built-in emotion that we have when you sense, something really bad's going to happen here. That's God-given. He's not afraid, but he's given us that mechanism for our safety, little alarm system that protects us. So not all fear is bad. However, fear should be rational. It should be a reasonable thing. In other words, it shouldn't be a fictitious sort of, well, this could happen, therefore I shouldn't have that feeling, or I can't have that feeling. Now, let's just say you've got a fear of heights. You're in a vehicle, and you're driving through a mountainous area, and you start going, okay, I would ask you a question. Is that reasonable? Probably not. It's fair to say that some people have driven off the side of a ledge before. So it's not entirely just off the chart, but I would say probably not reasonable. So what do you do if that fear happens? I quite honestly have to confess to you, I'm not sure I'd do much with that. If it's not affecting your life, if it's not something that's controlling you, I wouldn't look at that as a big issue in the life of a Christian, frankly. Now, you're standing on the ledge of a building. I don't know how you got there, but somehow you're there and you're afraid. That's normal. Now, let's just say you're sitting in your house on the plains of Nebraska, which was probably redundant because pretty much all of Nebraska is a plain. And you're sitting there going, I'm afraid of mountains. I don't want to be dry. I don't want to fall off the ledge. That's just irrational. And you need to start working through that process so that you stop thinking that way. And so you need to go to work on studying the word more,
so that your thinking gets increasingly righted. Please note, so often in Christianity, even with biblical counseling, which is magnificent, it takes time. It just takes time. Received an email from a fellow who has ADHD. We're just using the term because then we all get it. He's got ADHD so badly, so terribly, that
severely.
It affects his family life. It's causing relational difficulty. Okay, that's pretty bad. So he's had this since his childhood. What about medication? So I sent off a note to our buddy Rick Thomas, who, by the way, it appears has to have surgery. He has got some sort of, I was just reading his website. You know Rick Thomas of rickthomas.net. If you don't, get familiar. Start reading his stuff regularly. Magnificent work, helping you with your emotions, feelings, biblically. He's a biblical counselor, rickthomas.net. He's got to have something that's pinching in his back that is just causing tremendous pain, so much so that he can't walk. You know, his wife just went through breast cancer. So their family, don't worry, they can bear it because God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And Rick Thomas would hit me upside the head for saying that, because actually sometimes God does give us more than we can handle so that we rely on him. So I sent him this note, and he sent back a lengthy response. I asked him, what would you recommend to this fellow? Well, he sent back a lengthy response because he's got a lot of free time now because he's not ambulatory. And he said, this is something that's going to take years to deal with. Medication is going to complicate the issue, and it's going to be something where he needs somebody to walk alongside him, not just get counseling once a week, but be with him regularly. So do some practical things, some biblical counseling together, some accountability together, and it's going to probably take a couple of years. That is the case sometimes with biblical counseling. Now, sometimes biblical counseling can be like, aha! Duh! What have I been... The Bible says this, and I've been believing that. And it gets corrected and fixed, and away they go. It can take some time, Christian, and it might be the case with a phobia that it takes you some time if it is irrational. Because if it's irrational, it's a sign of the effect of the fall. There's probably an element of non-belief, not that you're not a believer, but non-belief in there someplace. And it's most likely sinful. And biblical counseling can help you with that. Now, what about Gil's case? He's afraid of IVs because he had a really bad IV experience. Now tell me, that's understandable, isn't it? Would I make a major deal out of this? Like, Gil, you better prepare for the next 7 years of biblical counseling. Strap in. We're going to get you over this fear of IV. I don't know that I would. It's not affecting his life. You can understand that somebody would feel that way because of a personal bad experience. Now, you could share with him, hey, take a look at the statistics. 17 million IVs happen a day, and you're like the only guy to have a busted IV, whatever went wrong. Don't worry about it. Well, you could do that. But my advice to Gil would be, look, you got an option? Then take the option. Now, there is one little caveat to all of this. Gil, you and you alone need to ask the question, is this a sign I am not trusting God? Only you can do that work. You can have somebody help you with it, but if it's a trusting God issue, if it's become something that's irrational, controlling, or just demonstrates you're not believing that your God is sovereign, then you can go to work in that area. But again, let's be careful with some of these issues, that there's a reasonable explanation, that we don't turn it into like, this has got to get fixed. I'd put it in the queue, but I'm not sure that it would come to the front of the line anytime soon. Email sent to idea@wretched.org. Is it right? This is from Canada. Is it right for a single woman to undergo artificial insemination using the blessings of science and to raise that child on her own? Is it selfish? Is it noble? That's a lot of questions. Let's tackle them because we increasingly need to deal with these issues. Should a single woman do this? I would not recommend this. In fact, I would say, this is Todd's opinion here, your mileage may vary. No. No. Why? Because God intended for children to be the fruit of a covenant relationship between a man and a woman. If you desire to have children, then start desiring a spouse and have children. But I don't think using this is biblical. I don't think it's wise. Now, furthermore, while I recognize the sexual act is not involved, it's nevertheless in artificial insemination the result of a very intimate act that should only happen between a husband and wife. You've also then got a child with a father who is not known, who can't be involved in his life. So I would say if you were sitting in my office, nope. Let's put some things in a different order. Now, what about a single woman adopting a child? What about that? That gets more complex, doesn't it? Because now you've got a child who most likely, let's say here's the scenario, most likely that child is going to sit in an orphanage. We've got these kids in the U.S. in the foster system. We've got these kids in Europe, in Eastern Europe mostly, China, South America. If they don't get adopted, terrible life. Should a single mom adopt that child? And I think that's more of a debatable issue than the artificial insemination issue. If it's a rescue mission, because it could be reasoned that one mom is better than 10 rotating orphanage workers. It's not the ideal, but remember, she's not creating a child, she's rescuing a child. It is not ideal. The ideal is to, again, get married for the sake of a child. So I would say this, if you're a single woman and you desire children and you want to do a rescue mission, if you truly want to rescue them in the best way possible, I would say following God's program, being married, how the child comes about is less of an issue than the way that God wants that child to be raised. And God wants the child to be raised with the influence of a godly mom and a godly dad. Let's not forget that pops are important too. I still maintain, sorry, Dad, I'm one of them, by the way. Moms are actually more important in the life of a child. I think it's just the way that God designed it. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean there shouldn't be a pop. So if you want to adopt as a single woman, I say very noble. Talk to your husband about it once you get married. Disagree? idea@wretched.org. After all, I'm not Dr. Phil here. Whew. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.